Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Plan for Fitness Talk Show. I'm your host, Deborah Vidala, broadcasting live from Palm Beach County, Florida. It's Sunday, April 26, 2015. We were having hot weather already, ladies and gentlemen. I talked about proper hydration last week. However, throughout this summer and every summer, safety always first. Water intake is essential. In my opinion, a minimum of a half a gallon is a moderate amount, so everyone stay safe. And having outdoor activity is part of fitness and wellness and staying healthy. So my recommendation is early a.m. and later p.m. times are the best. So the sun is so hot already, but what a beautiful day down here in South Florida. We have a lot going on tonight. I have the bounty hunter calling in from New York City. Already on the line is James Hoyle from the city of Margate, a special guy. He's been my co-pilot for the Homeless and Needy Outreach Project here in Palm Beach County, and he's been assisting me since 2010. So, again, a big commitment to a worthy cause. James is an employee of the city of Margate in South Florida. Public Works Department, a very important position in my opinion, automotive heavy parts, fleet support for all the first response vehicles. Let me bring him on the line right now. James Hoyle, welcome back to Plan for Fitness Talk Show.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
Good. Thank you for calling in tonight. I know we have a guest calling in, but, you know, you're really just something else. You've been doing this with me, you know, about 5 years, and you're certainly going, you're going the distance, asking for donations. You're bringing them to me, and we're distributing them together. Last week we did a needy family, a special needs mother with those small children and a younger gentleman in recovery, and Goodwill funded housing for them. You want to talk about briefly, James, what this experience has been to what it's meant to you, because you have been out on the streets with me.
Well, you know, the biggest thing is most people don't realize that the people that are out there, they've got the wrong idea of who is out there. They keep thinking that it's just the bad people. But there's a lot of people that have lost their jobs, and unfortunately they're ending up on the street, and there's nobody out there to help them. And, you know, I'm doing my part. It's not enough. I wish more people would participate. Best thing for somebody to do is to actually go out there and see what's going on, because there's so many people that turn a blind eye to these poor people, you know, and I know for a fact they don't want to be there. And there's so many people that want to help, don't know how to help. And for that reason, they just keep doing the same thing over and over. Oh, yeah, I'd love to help somebody, but they don't know how to do it, so they don't do anything. It's a sad situation. It really is.
Well, certainly tonight is very important that we recognize the city of Margate, your department, And what you've been doing with me and for the people, there's been a lot of many people to benefit from. Just, you know, it's kind of like a labor of love for us, you know, because you call me, you'll say, Deb, I got a donation. And I'm like, you know, I'm feeling torqued up and happy. I'm like, cool, we're going to be able to go out and do something. Last week, we knew there was a family in need, and that the whole donation went to them. And what a blessing, because you got to meet the young man, you know, and it's just very special and a blessing that we get to do this. Don't you think, James?
Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah. Let me see if I have another. Go ahead, James.
I was going to say more people have to participate, so we need a lot more people, because there's so many people out there that need help, and mm-hmm. I'd love to help every one of them, but we need more donations. We need it all.
We do. Well said, James. Plan for Fitness takes donations year-round. You can email me directly at planforfitnesstalkshow@gmail.com or planforfitness@aol.com, or call me directly. If you're out of state, you know, and you really want to give and you want to send a small package, if it's not too expensive and you can afford to, what a blessing that would be, too. We are getting primarily from Broward County. And these are beautiful people, you know. They give beautiful stuff, don't they, James?
They sure do. Absolutely.
The tags are still on some of it. Yes, we thank everybody involved from the bottom of our hearts. James, I'm going to be bringing you back on the show in May again, but I just wanted to give you a sincere thanks and sending you much love.
All right, thank you, Deborah.
Thank you. I look forward to continuing to work with you and having you back on the show.
Okay, take care now.
Stand by. Thank you. You too. Welcome to Plan for Fitness Talk Show.
Hi, Debbie. It's Scott Bernstein.
Ladies and gentlemen, Scott Bernstein is a return guest, the bounty hunter, one of my most exciting guys that call in. He's been with the talk show since 2009, and you're a very busy man. I feel very blessed to have you come on the air with me tonight.
Oh, thanks, Abby. It's my pleasure.
Oh, the pleasure is mine. There's so much to talk about with you, and we discussed it early because, you know, we used to do an hour show where you have the Bounty Hunter Training Academy, very exciting, and you know, you've been doing this about 30 years, correct?
Yeah, it's been a long time, 30 years, yep, coming
yes.
up on that. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have a lot going on, you know, the child recovery, the fugitive recovery. I looked at all your sites. There's so many, and I was absorbed with everything that you've been doing. You're continuing to grow. And my feedback today, because I want to talk about the Academy, but we're on a limited time. The people, when I went to YouTube and I looked at these two videos on human trafficking, you know, I was at the house really crying, and this is a for real thing. And I'm not sure a lot of people know that people are taken from the U.S. out of the country. Can you elaborate on this subject, Scott?
Absolutely.
Well,
human trafficking is the largest type of organized crime in the world. It's taken over the drug cartels internationally. And approximately every 7 minutes, a child is taken somewhere in the world. Most people don't know this. It's just been going on because it's an underground enterprise, and it's a black market. And there's a variety of means where a child is taken around the world, and most of it is done on social media. People don't know that, but you know, the major problem here is it's predominantly sex trafficking, because trafficking takes a variety of forms. When you're talking about sex trafficking or the human condition of human trafficking, there's things like prostitution. Children are taking, are taken from the years of 4 to, of course, 18. their adults are taken too, as we've seen in the news right now, where they're taking in cargo ships and they're packed to the hilt, and now we see from Libya and coming to the shores of Italy where they're not making it and they're being capsized and hundreds are drowning. And that's where you're seeing where those are adults. And if people are watching the news now, now you're starting to see some of that, because there are thousands that are dying because those are migrants. And when we're talking about forced labor, those are what we call migrants, and that is a particular type of human trafficking. But the larger scale where my specialty comes into play is with sex trafficking, when you got children, and the boys and girls, and the split is about equal. Sometimes it's 51, sometimes it's 49%. And it's all over the world. Here in this kind of the United States, it's very predominant. You've got some states where it's more affluent. When I mean affluency, it means the numbers. So you got states like Arizona, because you're very close to the border of Mexico. And you got states like Georgia, even by you in Florida. Oh, my God, there's a tremendous amount of numbers. California is a big state. Here in New York, by me, it's a big state. So, I mean, it's everywhere. But these border states that are close to, you know, transient waterways is very good. I mean, also southern borders. What ends up happening, predominantly, and I'll make this fade, like you said, we're very limited on time, and this could be a topic going for a month, because people are just, you know, are not savvy to this, because unless it happens to them. But what they got on Craigslist and Facebook and Backpage, I mean, these are pimps. These are internet pimps, and they know they are. It's not like they're hiding. This is their bread and butter, and people don't understand that, and they're just part of the problem without being part of the solution, because they're bystanders and they lack the knowledge. Well, this is the awareness part here, and that's why I go speaking around at different symposiums around the world. I got one coming up next week in Indiana, and then I'm going over to India and Vienna. But the part that people should be aware of is that with these fake profiles that are set up by the predators, and I'll make this quick, and then I'll be able to entertain some questions from you, is that trafficking begins when you have what's called an actor that goes on the and searches out profiles of these kids that they're looking for. And these children, you know, fit a particular mold that the actor wants. And then the actor goes on and begins a grooming. It's called a grooming process, these children, based upon their profiles. Because, you know, the kids are putting out all the personal information out there, and so is everybody else. And then at that point, you know, they go to the vulnerabilities of that child. And the point that they finish the grooming process, basically, is they set the bait, you know, for the mouse. They put the cheese. The child takes the cheese, the bait's set, and it's caught. And at that point, then the actor then sells the child over to the trafficker. And once that's done, the child disappears. And if someone like me is not hired, the child, goes into captivity. And for a girl or a boy, they could be prostituted up to 30 times a day in servitude.
That's horrible. Horrible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, why we're talking about it, because a lot of people, I just don't think that they're aware that it can happen. You know, like, you're in New York, I'm in Florida, and you're going around the world to share this message. Like, this can happen in any state, but they're taking them out of the country. And I remember you telling me a couple years back, and it's always affected me. I can keep it brief for the details for security purposes, but I know you went down to Mexico and you did a very dangerous, a capture on this young lady. Can you briefly talk about that, your experience in bringing her back and how you found her?
Well, I'm not sure which one I know, because there's been so many, but I mean, when you're going into...
For example, you know, when you have to go capture, you know, either it's a male or female, and they're in a dangerous situation, and you're trying to bring them home, how do you do that?
Well, I'm a profiler, and that's what I'm known for, and I'm a criminal science behaviorist. So you have to collect as much information as you can. If I'm working with a client who's usually the parent or the custodian, I send them some paperwork that they need to fill out so I can access each particular assignment, because not everyone's always the same, of course, and, you know, all the information I have to have at my fingertips so I can make all the proper risk assessments. I make the locate. You know, there's a time differential between each different case. And, you know, once I acquire all that information, disseminate it, then I come up with a profile. I come up with a locate. And based upon, you know, where it is, I mean, if it's, you know, in Minnesota, it's a lot big difference than Juarez, Mexico. So, and like you said, if you're going into a foreign country, you know, like you said, you know, that's kind of considered what we call a clandestine operation. What people, you know, do, which, you know, it's a very sad state of affairs, is that most people and probably all your listeners are saying to themselves, well, you know, if one had a missing child, you know, two things that they do, which unfortunately is very sad, and it's a sad state of affairs in this country and elsewhere, the run to the police, because they're conditioned to do that, and that's sad, and it's sad because the police won't do anything. The other part of it is that they're not trained to do anything, and the other thing, they can't even leave their own jurisdiction. So they're unmanpowered, and they don't have the skill sets to do it. And the other thing that the parents will do is then they'll run to some not-for-profit group, but not-for-profit groups are, you know, are not built for anything. They'll post a flyer of a missing kid, but what's that going to do? You're going to hope you win a lottery and someone's going to see your kid? Yeah. No, it's not going to happen.
I know it's going to feel rewarding when you're able to recover somebody. And I know that, you know, again, I've watched different videos. I know you've been featured on 60 Minutes and various talk shows on the radio and TV. But these two videos, you know, I posted them on Facebook, and the reflection was, who is this guy, you know, because this is real awareness that what you're talking about. I said, you know, it could happen to anybody. And well, just how easy is it for somebody to get an adult or child? Is it through traveling, like on an airplane?
Well, get the child back or take their child?
Taking the person.
Taking the child is easy. I mean, it's an underground. If somebody was to take your child, it's pretty simple. Like I said, I mean, once the grooming process, if it's something through social media, which is usually the mainstream. And see, parents, a lot of times, there's two fundamental ways that, you know, that nobody knows they're being trafficked. You know, sometimes a parent will assume that their child's a runaway. And most of the times will be that way. So because the child will, you know, run away, because they're not going to know they're being trafficked. It's pretty simple. You know, somebody will use a ruse, like, here's a ruse, I'll just throw one out to you. They'll find, you know, their life's not going well at home, they're being abused, let's say, or, you know, things not going well at school and they're lonely. And that's how somebody will hit at their heartstrings, is that they'll see that when they're on social media. They'll see that, you know, there's postings, and they'll say, you know, my boyfriend's a jerk, or my parents are, and, you know, they play at that vulnerability. So what they'll do is they'll say, okay, the groomer, let's say if I'm the groomer, I'll write, and I'll say, you know, you're so pretty, and, you know, I'll play to those vulnerabilities. I'll say, listen, you know, I have a friend, he runs a modeling agency in New York City, I see you're from, you know, Kansas City. What do you say? I'll buy you. You know, he really wants you. I showed him, you know, your photos, and you sent me some more. You know, and this grooming process probably took about 3 or 4 weeks, let's say. And then I'll say, you know, how would you like to get a modeling session? Guy gave me the money. We'll buy you a bus ticket. Meet you at the Port Authority bus terminal in New York in Midtown Manhattan. And of course, she's going to take the bait. The other thing
so
might
it's a
be
master
is
it's a master manipulation to lure them, correct?
Yeah, it doesn't take much. I mean, you know, you're if they're looking for, let's say, I mean, if they're looking, let's say, if you got a trafficker and he says to the groomer and he says, I need 20 girls, and I need, you know, them between 9 and, you know, 14 years of age. It's easy. It's not difficult. It's unfortunate because, you know, no one's out there monitoring the children. I mean, parents are very loose with their children. I mean, they're not there, you know, monitoring their children all the time. So, you know, you got young children on Facebook all the time. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, so it's pretty easy, and especially with Backpage, too. Backpage is where you find the sex trafficked children. So Backpage is a vehicle for traffickers. If you go on Backpage and you look at the adult section, those are the trafficked kids. But who's doing anything about Backpage? Backpage once was
shut down.
For
yeah. Now we know. I never heard of it.
Well, it's been up. I mean, it's only shut down for a short term. But you got those guys who own it, like the Neimarks and all these other guys who own these rags and Craigslist. Oh, my God. You go in the adult sections, those are your trafficked children. Now, how comes no one's going after these people?
I agree. And you know what? It's well said. One thing I like about you, you're straightforward. You know, I'm just so proud to have you with me. You're so interesting. You have a lot going on, but the most is that you're brave and you have courage. And this is a dangerous job. A lot of people ask me, you know, oh, the bounty hunter, he's famous. I said, this guy is the real deal, and you've been doing it for a long time. You're not really, I know that so many people are interested in interviewing you, but this is not what it's about for you. You're really out to go save lives and capture the bad guys.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the reward is, you know, getting the children back. You know, when the parents contact me, I always tell them, I said, you know, I'm not working for you, I'm working for your kid. You know, the children are out there crying out to be saved, and, you know, that's the winning ticket there is, you know, the ultimate gift is never money. The ultimate gift is getting the child reunified with their parents. Or, you know, or saving their lives. I mean, not everything ends up, you know, with roses all the time. But you know, the other part of it is that at least you're getting closure. I hate to be morose about it, but you know, as long as you have answers, it's great too. But you know, 85% I do find alive. And of course, you know, that, there's nothing better than that. But, you know, but someone's got to do it. The international communities are horrible at it.
But that's a lot. That's a great percentage because, you know, I was watching this today and I would imagine I had saw directly in the video, obviously somebody was telling the story when what happened to them. They obviously got out. But they inject them with drugs and they're laid in a bed all day. And I don't even think half of them can feed themselves.
No, they can't. They're not paid. They're not fed, you know, most of the time. And they're given cheap heroin all the time. I mean, they get a nickel bag of heroin. They shoot a shot up about, you know, 3 or 4 times a day. This way because, you know, they are very... how should I say, it's a lot easier for them, for the trafficker with the Johns, you know, in the lane there, and they really can't do much anything to...
like sedate them. That's terrible.
In a sense, sedate them.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're hungry because a heroin addict is, you know, they want the drug now because now they're willing to prostitute themselves and they're, you know, they have that... need, so now they're more willing to prostitute themselves. They know that it's a sick thing, and it's really sickening because you know they're now have that trafficker as a father figure, that pimp as a father figure, so to speak, or as a boyfriend, and now becomes the new parent. So.
Yes. I don't know about you, but, I mean, I was born in the early 70s. We didn't have Facebook. We didn't have all this computer stuff. And I think, like, you know, even if they're 16, they call them, like, a pre-adult or whatever. But even at 18, they're still not fully mature. Everybody's on the social media. People are hooking up and meeting. And even the Craigslist, the whole Craigslist ordeal should be shut down. There's been many deaths. And very bad things have happened, you know, rapes and murders, and we read about it on the news. And yet the network is still online. So what's the message to the listeners if they have children and what they should do with these profiles that are dangerous?
Well, the message is that people got to get on the same page. It's like anything else. I mean, you look at police brutality. See, the interesting thing with life in general in society is that nobody will jump on the wagon until they become the victim. It's so easy to sit back and watch it from a distance, but when it comes up in close and smacks you in the face, then you become active. Or proactive. It's just sad. I mean, I unfortunately, you know, I have the answer, but it's just that unless somebody, you know, takes a stand or there's some serious leadership in this country, you know, and nothing's going to get done. I mean, we have a terrorist problem with ISIS, and you know, that's not going to go away. We started winning. We're winning the war against the drug cartels, and and we can win this war, too. And we're slowly going to do that, but unfortunately, it's going to be at the dear cost of hundreds of thousands of lives.
Scott, they're giving me a cue. We're down to 10 seconds. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. I'd like to invite you back in May. And thank you for calling in. Scott Bernstein, bounty hunter, calling in from New York City. Scott, thank you for calling in.
It's been my pleasure, Debbie. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And we'll speak to you again.
All right. Very good.
Thank you for all you do. Good night,
thank
sweetheart.
You. Bye-bye.
Plan for Fitness. We'll be back next Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Thanks for tuning in. Good night.